This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, this is Arvind Yuvraj. You're listening to Open for Business, and we're going to be talking all about food on today's show, but not the kind that you might think. If you're familiar with Ento and its founder Kevin Wu, then you know that the food in question is an alternative source of protein, or more specifically, crickets. Now, there are two kinds of people in this world, right? The kind who are curious enough and wouldn't mind eating crickets, maybe even enjoy eating crickets, and the kind who would sort of recoil at the idea of eating any sort of insect. But the thing is, though, you shouldn't be so quick to dismiss the idea, because the alternative protein industry is booming at the moment due to its sustainability factor, and because harvesting insects could also be the solution to our meat consumption problem around the world. Plus, Kevin was recently featured in Forbes 30 Under 30 Asia class of 2021 for his work in Ento, which should basically tell you all you need to know about how viable and even how futuristic this endeavor is. Anyway, I'll let the founder do the rest of the explaining and the talking. So, Kevin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yes, a pleasure to be here, Arvind.
So I want to start by talking about the last time you were here on Open for Business. So that was in April 2019. You were also on Breaking Bread a few months after that. So let's talk about how much has changed since these last 2 years, or over these last 2 years. Any new milestones, any big changes in terms of growth for Ento?
Yeah, sure. So if anyone has tuned into the first episode, that was the point around April 2019 was when we first launch our products into the market, and we're just testing consumer feedback. It was all bootstrapped. So since April 2019, a lot has changed. So prior to COVID, we've actually managed to raise a pre-seed round from a Singaporean family office, from a VC. So we're able to use that funds to expand our production line and also expand our product lines to introduce not just like whole roasted crickets and insects, but also more powderized stuff like granolas, and moving towards the burger patty and meat, meat-like formula and texture to introduce consumers with something that's a lot more familiar to the palates instead of seeing a whole roasted bug. So since COVID, a lot has changed then as well in the way we market our products, introduce our products. I mean, obviously, it's a new norm for pretty much most businesses, and we all have to adapt. So we're still in the midst of kind of adapting as new information is coming in. As at the time of this recording, we're entering into a third lockdown. So really, it's just firefighting throughout the entire period since March of 2020.
Okay, all right. But you know, on the flip side, you've also been like really busy these last couple of years. You've got a law firm called Kevin Wu & Associates. You're also playing in the furniture business a bit, in the furniture space. So can you tell us about that approach, the kind of quote-unquote the octopus way of doing things?
Yeah, so I would regard myself as not just a farmer, but also an entrepreneur. So far to date, I've founded three ventures, as you rightly mentioned. Ento, which is a food tech business. Secondly, Kevin Wu & Associates, which is a full-service law firm based in Publica in KL. So we offer a variety of different practice areas. So we do corporate advisory, dispute resolution, and a bit of criminal matters, mostly related to white-collar crimes. So, you know, all in all, we have close to 10 lawyers, and we're a growing practice. So it's extremely exciting right now in the legal industry, because there's so much changes in the way we do things, the way a client interacts with lawyers, and the way we even interact in court, because a lot of things have been moving online, which is, I think, for the better. Lastly, the furniture retail line, I think it's very interesting. As a co-founder of one of the latest and largest furniture retailer in Malaysia called FOC Furniture Outlet Center, with the whole movement and trend of people stay at home, I think people are a lot more willing to invest in their homes because they're spending more and more time at home. You know, they've suddenly decided or thought that, you know, it's time to change the sofa that they've had for over 10 years. So we're seeing trends that a lot of people are reinvesting in their homes once again, which is great, you know, because our vision is to really provide provide everyone to furnish their dream home.
How do you find the time, though? Because this is one thing that I'm always curious about with not serial entrepreneurs, but multi-skilled entrepreneurs. Do you leave one business on autopilot? Are you hands-on with everything? What is your approach?
Yeah, so I think I get bored quite easily. So I love learning about different industries, the way customers interact with the business, or the way supply chain works, or the way you market a certain product or service. So I would say Ento and the furniture outlet is a lot more hands-off now with the appropriate management team in place. So I take a very backseat approach. Right now, my prime focus is on the law firm. So it's a very hands-on business where lawyers are expected to deliver the best results and the best service to their clients at all times. So this requires a lot more hands-on approach to things, which being trained as a lawyer and used to work at one of the largest law firms in Malaysia, we're trained to deliver our service and the result in a certain way, in a speedy and professional manner. So the law firm has been very exciting because I never would have gone back to law, and here I am. Started the law firm late 2020, so it's been close to a year now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you something, if it's not too personal, if you don't mind? Are any of these businesses the backup plan? Because like one's a passion, one's a profession, and one has to be the fallback, right? Or no, is that not how you see these things?
I think that's a very interesting question regarding the backup plans, right? I think generally, I think entrepreneurship in itself is a career profession. I think it doesn't necessarily mean you have to run multiple publicly listed companies or one single company. I think running a series of small but sizable companies is quite exciting for me. And I think being in business, not putting all your eggs in one basket is always a wise approach to things. But there are definitely certainly certain businesses that I feel more fond for than others. So I won't disclose too much on that, but it's been pretty exciting. And I feel I've learned a lot over the past 2-3 years as an entrepreneur in multiple industries.
Right. Okay, so coming back to Ento, there's so much shock value associated with the brand, like eating crickets, eating insects. Has the awareness for this sort of like alternative source of protein grown since you started, or do you still get the same sort of like knee-jerk reaction, that people have a sort of ickiness about eating bugs?
I think the industry in itself has grown a lot since April 2019. For instance, let's talk about the industry in general, like the alternative protein industry. So I'm talking about not just insect-based, but also plant-based as well as cell-based proteins. We've seen a huge growth of awareness in the areas of consumers and also investors in these areas, because more and more people are becoming more environmentally conscious and more aware about the footprints and also where the food comes from. So I think that this area has been growing. I think a lot of the limelight has been focused on plant-based protein and cell-based protein. Unfortunately, insect-based protein still has a slight negative stigma. However, we're seeing trends that are changing, and this is reflective of our sales, which has been steadily growing over the past few months due to more awareness. And as we grow, as we spend more time in this industry, we're able to also craft our product and create better products for our consumers.
I like that you mentioned the sales, because that's something that I also want to come back to in a bit. But before that, who is your target market specifically for Ento? Because it's still a niche market here in Malaysia. Other countries might be a lot more open to consuming insects as a source of protein. So locally, what is your target market like?
So we have two prongs to this. So we look locally and also internationally. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the local market, we're very focused on urban millennials who are of middle to higher income, with who typically care more about the environment and aware more aware of their diets and all these kind of alternative protein trends. So we're seeing our customers in Malaysia are typically in urban areas, in mostly middle to affluent areas, who are who probably just came back from studying overseas, exposed to all these various ideas, and are happy to try out here in Malaysia. Whereas internationally, we have B2B customers in the US, in Europe, and also Australia that places large bulk orders with us. So actually, we are very much focused on the international markets, but we're very much focusing our operations just in Malaysia in terms of the management, the marketing, and also production. So, very Malaysia-based, but internationally focused.
So the thing is, right, on the other end of that spectrum, I wanted to know if, from a marketing point of view, is it beneficial for you to sort of keep that element of that slight shock value in your marketing and your branding, right? Because although you're trying to make other products where people don't see the insect as is, you still have products where you're not trying to disguise how the food looks. So it literally looks like a fried, crunchy cricket with the wings and all. Is that a part of the marketing, you know, not trying to conceal what it looks like? Does that pull people as well?
I think it really depends on the segment that we are targeting. Mm-hmm. For now, we're very much focused on creating a product that's like a meat-like texture. So you can form it into a burger patty-like form. And then when you bite into it, it tastes very much, very similar to a normal burger made of chicken or beef. Mm. So that's what we're trying to do. You know, we play with spices. And this burger has more protein and no processed ingredients in it. So it's healthier for you. So that's one aspect that we're highly focused on right now. But there is a growing element that, you know, I recently got off a call with a Canadian distributor who's interested in exporting our products all the way to Africa, mm-hmm. and then rebrand it and, you know, reflavor it and distribute, but they only want the whole roasted crickets because they're saying that in Africa, this is like a seasonal delicacy that people can only get at a certain time of the year. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a lot of potential. So it depends on who we're speaking to. There's definitely various small pockets of markets around the world for us to tackle. So you rightly mentioned it's a very niche areas, but I think that finding the right niche at the right market area is what we're really trying to achieve here at Ento. I don't think it's going to be a mass scale product anytime soon. Mm-hmm. However, I think that the market size for this niche area is still sizable.
I mean, in a way, it's also about just like getting over that mental block, right? Because we eat prawns, we eat shrimp, anchovies and stuff. If you think about it, it's the same thing. It's just about we're not used to it yet.
Yeah, you're right. Imagine if, let's say, you've never seen a prawn or crab until today, you know, for like 20, 30 odd years, you've never seen one. And if you actually look at it properly and think about it, they actually look like kind of like spiders of the ocean.
Yeah.
With, you know, eight legs and a hard shell and with a claws. It's quite dangerous actually if you you touch a live crab, an adult live crab. So I think that it's about getting rid of that stigma, number one. Number two is also creating the right dish. So I don't think we found the salted egg fish skin recipe for bugs just yet. So that's something we're still working on right now. Yeah.
Right. We are about 15 minutes into the show, which means that we'll need to pause for a quick break. Stick around, though, because I'm speaking with Kevin Wu, founder of Ento, who was recently featured in the Forbes 30 Under 30 list. This is Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Brand-friendly marketeers, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business on BFM 89.9. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj and I'm joined by Kevin Wu from Ento, which is an alternative protein food company that relies on crickets, yes, the insect crickets, as their source of protein. What is the cost of cultivating insects to consume, though? Because we know it's costly to run a farm, to run a chicken coop, you know, to have a commercial pond for fish. But what is the cost like to grow crickets to be consumed?
Yeah, good question. I think because the scale of the entire industry is very, very, very small and it's very niche, mm-hmm. It's still pricier than traditional livestock like, you know, chicken or beef or fish. Because of the scale, it's very, very tiny. And we can't compare to, you know, all these established traditional livestock like the meat products, because, you know, even their processing facility is sizes of multiple football fields. So it's still higher on the higher side, but in theory, if we're able to scale to the same similar size, it should be much cheaper. And that because insects uses far less land, water, and resources to grow. So in the long run, I think it's going to be cheaper if this is going to take off in the mainstream market.
Do you think it would be cheaper to even have those facilities in other countries or no?
Yeah, certainly. There's always places that are cheaper. But I think in Malaysia, especially if we are based outside of KL in our agricultural land, I think that it is commercially viable to do so for human consumption and develop Malaysia as a hub for edible insects. So I think that is that's not a far-fetched idea if there's the right market support and foundations for it.
Mm. And that's another misconception that sort of attached to this area, right? You said crickets for human consumption. So it's not just like any given insect anywhere can be just plucked and eaten. You are cultivating these specifically to be consumed by human beings.
Correct. So in the farming process, if anyone wishes to know, actually everything is measured. So the feed is all, we have a whole supply chain of that, and the crickets are fed on corn and grains. So they're not fed on random things. Our supply chain, we actually get our feed from a very established manufacturer for feed. So the supply chain, everything goes in, it's traceable to the very last grain. So, and these are farm in enclosed environments. So these environments must be extremely clean, because otherwise, you know, with anything that if it's not taken care of, there'll be pests or diseases, mm-hmm. which is not good for business. So if anyone were to see the farm, it's completely clean and closed off, clinical. The only thing that's odd is just the, instead of farming chickens, we're farming crickets. Yeah.
Are there any plans to sort of expand this area? I mean, outside of human consumption, because I'm thinking about things like pet food, and it's a source of protein for pet food. So are there any ideas to move into those areas as well?
Not anytime in the near future, mm-hmm. Because to go into, let's say, pet food or eventually animal feed, the skill required for this area is massive. Mm. You rightly mentioned there are already players doing it for pet food and certainly for feed. But the kind of capital requirement and investment is massive to develop a facility where you can churn out tons and tons per day. So instead, we are focusing on something a lot more niche, which is for human consumption, where we can really, you know, differentiate ourselves compared to a lot of the big players out there, not just in Malaysia or Southeast Asia, but also around the world, because there are some companies that are doing for animal consumption that have raised hundreds of millions of dollars, US dollars, to scale up production. So we just can't compete with that scale.
Right. So speaking about the cost as well, how has your revenue been this last couple of years, ever since the pandemic started? You touched on this slightly earlier, but were there any like major ups and downs? How did you cope with this, whatever's been going on in the last year or so?
Yeah, so I think our revenues would look very similar to a lot of businesses. We were a profitable startup pre-COVID. Revenues was incrementally increasing as we were able to attend trade shows. We're going down to Singapore. You know, pre-COVID, thankfully, we set up a small warehouse in Singapore to distribute and serve the last mile logistics for our Singaporean customers. So pre-COVID, everything was great because of all these trade shows and marketing activities. But during COVID, I think we've experienced a huge slump. Like many other businesses, we couldn't operate. We couldn't shipping was extremely tough, and we've had to find ways to acquire new customers. So I think the initial shock we saw a huge decline in revenues, but incrementally, we are trying to build everything up from scratch again. It's as if, you know, with every MCO announcement, we have to just build our company up from scratch again. So I think this is quite similar to a lot of traditional businesses or majority of businesses out there.
Mm-hmm. It's always like a soft reboot.
Yeah. Multiple restarts.
Multiple restarts.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to bring up something that you said earlier. So you mentioned plant-based protein. And that's interesting, right? Because there's a growing movement towards veganism. A lot of people are adopting the lifestyle because of its benefits, its sustainability, and it's also very plant-based as well. So do you consider that as competition? Like, does that affect your business in any way? Because whatever it is, your core business at Ento is still based in meat, like alternative meat, but still meat.
Yeah, correct. So another term for my business is what a lot of people call like micro livestock. Mm-hmm. So much smaller carbon footprint compared to our traditional livestock. But yes, I think I see plant-based as not a competition or a substitute for insect-based protein, but more like a complement. I'm not definitely insect-based protein is, as you rightly mentioned, is not vegan or vegetarian because it's still an animal source. However, I think that I see insect-based protein as somewhere in the middle between plant-based and a traditional livestock, where we can still consume meat, but this meat is far more efficient in terms of production as well as nutrition compared to our traditional livestock. So it's like a new form of meat. But I don't see it as competition plant-based because I think plant-based has its own benefits and it's, I would say it's also very environmentally friendly. However, it does sometimes lack the micro and macronutrients that certain animals have. For example, crickets have far higher protein for the same amount of mass compared to plant-based. I think it still has its benefit, but I think as always, a little bit of everything is the healthiest and best option. So a varied diet is, I think, the way forward. And I think we're just offering one option for consumers.
Do you have competition in this space, though? I mean, ones that directly impact your business? Because, it is a specific space to play in. Do you have other players in this scene?
We have other competitors, even in Malaysia, but they're not as established as Ento. They're not as product focused as Ento. So I would say that we are still the dominant player in this industry within Malaysia and Singapore and even Indonesia markets. There are bigger players in Thailand and China. Mm-hmm. However, I think that's a whole new different market for us to look at in the medium to long term.
Okay. Kevin, what kinds of challenges are you facing at the moment at Ento besides everything to do with the pandemic?
Yeah, so I think besides the pandemic, consumer adoption and product development is still one of our core challenges. So when I mentioned insect-based protein, I think people still have the negative stigma around that, and we're still trying to figure out the right way to educate and market it to consumers. That's the main challenge. And secondly, even if they can get past the idea, I think that the key to unlocking this, the potential of this industry, is really the product development side. We have to create a product that is extremely tasty, nutritious, and extremely compelling for consumers to choose. So we can't, keep it as a snack and, as a novelty factor. We need to find ways we can create a product that would appeal to consumers as the first choice. I mean, certainly we have done a decent job so far, given a short space of time. And I don't think this is, can be solved within a few months. I think it'll still take time to find the magical solution to create the right products for consumers.
Mm-hmm. Do you think removing that novelty factor could then, it also gives you more access to mainstream sort of platforms like, major supermarkets and stuff?
Yes, correct. I think as we remove the novelty factor, for example, what we're trying to do right now is to create a meat-like texture. Mm-hmm. So with that, we hope that we can, instead of seeing Ento as just a snack product, we move into meal-based products where you can form it into meatballs, you can form it into burger patties or sausages. And I think that would be something that is worth to try out because we're constantly experimenting as a startup and we've always been focused on snacks. But right now we're moving to a phase where we are focusing more on a meal-based product for consumers.
Right. So a good way to sort of cap this interview would be to talk about expansion plans because it's only the middle of the year. What are your expansion plans? What do you have in terms of growth moving forward, maybe for the next few years or so?
Yeah. So right now we just closed a bridge round a couple months ago. We're still raising for our seed round. So with the seed round, we're looking to put more money into our R&D to create better products. And there's not much we can do in terms of marketing during this lockdown period because there are no trade shows. Because typically with an innovative or a very niche or a novel product like Ento, for example, The best place to introduce such products would be at specialist trade shows or alternative protein trade shows, which simply is not happening anytime soon. So right now, I think we just need to concentrate on our product development, run a series of small experiments within the market, within KL, which is accessible to us. And then hopefully once the borders open up, we can really introduce our products to the world and to drive sales with restaurants or other food service companies.
Kevin, thanks so much for your time, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Arvin. Pleasure to be here.
Right, that was Kevin Wu, founder of Ento, who was also recently featured in the Forbes 30 Under 30 class of 2021. You can stream this interview again via podcast on the BFM website, which is bfm.my. We are also on the BFM app. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Music as well. This has been Arvind Yuvraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.